World Sport from the BBC with me, Steve Crossman. Coming up, FIFA say they'll look into reports that dozens of migrant building workers have died in Qatar during construction work for the 2022 World Cup. Cameroon asks Samuel Eto'o to be involved in their World Cup qualifying playoff. And breaking up is never easy. Tottenham Hotspur manager André Villas-Boas talks about his relationship with his former mentor José Mourinho ahead of their meeting with Chelsea.
My initial idea was to keep on working with him, but he didn't feel the need for somebody near to him or in another position as an assistant.
First, FIFA have said they'll discuss British newspaper reports that 44 Nepalese migrant workers have died in 3 months during building work in Qatar ahead of the 2022 World Cup. They've said the matter will be raised at the executive committee after The Guardian also claimed employees were denied wages, had their passports removed, and that they weren't even allowed drinking water in searing temperatures. The World Cup's local organisers say they're appalled by the reports. James Montague is a journalist and author who's investigated the conditions of migrant workers in Gulf states.
When I've been to the Gulf and I've seen that the conditions of the migrant workers who are building these huge malls and these huge buildings, I mean, they're absolutely appalling. The first time I went there in 2006, what I saw was incredible. I mean, it was building the biggest mall in the world in Dubai. And what you saw was migrant workers living essentially with sewage running through their camps, living 12 to a room, men breaking down in front of me. Some men saying that they thought about suicide because they were trapped essentially as indentured slaves there, because they borrowed money to go on the promise of wages which had never materialized. And they were going to commit suicide by throwing themselves in front of cars on the highway, where they would have basically insurance scheme, essentially blood money being paid to their families. These guys thought that they were worth more to their families dead than alive. What this Guardian investigation has looked into, I think, has highlighted something that is not moving quickly enough. And hopefully this will lead to some kind of change.
If people were to read what they've read today in their newspaper and say, well, I know what, we should boycott major sporting events in Qatar, we should not have a World Cup in Qatar at all, you would still say to them, no, actually we should.
Anybody who goes to any of these Gulf countries and walks 2 minutes outside on a summer's day will see workers working in the most appalling conditions in 50-degree heat. It has to change. If the World Cup, if they lose it, I fear for what the repercussions would be for the workers who live there.
Journalist James Montague there speaking to the BBC's Ed Harry. Now, Samuel Eto'o has been called up by Cameroon for their African World Cup playoff tie, despite having reportedly told his teammates he was retiring from the national side after their last qualifier with Libya. The former African Footballer of the Year has not made a public statement on his future yet. The Chelsea forward's under pressure to play for his national side from the country's Union of Footballers. Ex-World Cup striker Roger Miller has said he'll talk to Eto'o if necessary to try and persuade him to play. Egyptian international defender Ahmed Faraj says he has reservations about the decision to use the Air Defence Stadium in Cairo for the home leg of their World Cup playoff with Ghana. The team has had to play outside the capital and behind closed doors due to security concerns. Around 30,000 fans are expected to attend, but Faraj admits he would have preferred them to play at the 75,000 capacity international stadium.
I think as a player, it's not happy with this because, you know, we like to play in Cairo Stadium, but it's not available because, you know, we have too much problem in Cairo. So army and police say, you know, we can't play here. We can play in another field, but not this. So it's bad news for the player and bad news also for the fans.
You're playing, I think, at the Air Defence Stadium, the second leg. Will that be? Is that a good stadium? Is that a good place to play?
Yes, yeah, good stadium, but the field is not good. When you see the game in the TV, you think the field is good, but it's not good really, because I play too many matches in this field, and also the player don't like this field. I think, and also the player don't like this field. I think this is something positive against Egyptian player.
And what about the atmosphere? How good will it be, though, to play in front of fans again, to play with the Egypt public behind you? I think 30,000 people will be in the stadium.
Yeah, minimum, I think, is good. But first, we have a difficult game away, so we need to make good result. Because, you know, if if we lose too much goal, you know, so very difficult to come back again. But if the match is still, you know, it's very good for us because with pressure, with the people, with the fans, we can make good result in Cairo.
That was Ahmed Faraj speaking to our football reporter John Bennett. Peter Schmeichel has admitted he doubts Manchester United can win the Premier League this year. The former United goalkeeper has told the BBC it will be difficult following David Moyes' succession as Sir Alex Ferguson.
I'm not confident that we are going to retain the title. I think it's very competitive this year. I can accept if we don't win the title. I accept it as long as we compete for it. If we're not there or thereabouts, I mean, I'd be worried, but I think we will be, because that's the kind of football club Manchester United is. But it's definitely one of the more interesting Premier League seasons.
Staying in the Premier League, Tottenham Hotspur manager Andre Villas-Boas has been discussing the breakdown of relations with his former boss Jose Mourinho ahead of Spurs' meeting with Chelsea. The two have spoken little since their split. That's despite the fact Villas-Boas was on Mourinho's backroom staff at Porto, Chelsea and Internazionale, where the Spurs boss wanted a greater role before deciding to leave.
Our breakup point was because, you know, I was full of ambition to give him something extra, and I wanted further involvement to the job that I was doing at that time, which was scouting and match preparation. I felt that I could give him much more, so my initial idea was to keep on working with him. But he didn't feel the need for somebody near to him or in another position as an assistant, and because of that we've both decided that it was time after Inter Milan to continue our career.
Well, elsewhere in Europe, Inter Milan have moved into second in Serie A with a 2-1 victory over Fiorentina. Walter Mazzarri's side had been 1-0 down with 18 minutes to go, but continue their impressive start to the new season. Whilst in Spain, Athletic Bilbao beat Real Betis 2-1. Newly promoted Villarreal are up to fourth after beating Espanyol 2-1, and Getafe were also victorious, winning 2-0 at home to Celta Vigo. Besiktas must play 4 games behind closed doors after a pitch invasion that halted their Istanbul derby with Galatasaray on Sunday. It followed the sending off of Felipe Melo, with visitors Galatasaray leading 2-1. Coach Slaven Bilic has been given a 3-game touchline ban. Now, Friday sees the election to the top job in world cycling. Pat McQuaid is the current president of the sports governing body, the UCI, and he's facing a strong challenge from his British counterpart, Brian Cookson. McQuaid's time in the post has been dominated by Lance Armstrong, his success in the Tour de France, and then the issue of doping in the sport. Hannah Davis reports from Florence.
It's been a long election campaign by both men. McQuaid has had a number of issues securing a nomination. He's lost the backing of both the Irish and Swiss cycling federations and goes into tomorrow not knowing whether he can actually stand in the election. I spoke to Rochelle Gilmore, an Australian cyclist who's now manager of a British women's team, Wiggle Honda, and she said that it's not fair to portray McQuaid as the bad guy.
Yeah, it definitely looks like a lot of people are behind Brian, and I think that comes down to perhaps they would have liked to see more happen and quicker actions being taken over the past years. And from my experience, trying to change something like a cycling body doesn't happen overnight, and it takes time. And I guess that the only reason that these countries will be behind Brian is because they believe that he can do a quicker, a faster, a more productive job in developing cycling and fixing some of the little issues that it's had in the past.
So early signs are that Cookson will be in charge, but elections can be unpredictable.
Our reporter Hannah Davis there in Florence. Do stay with us if you can for further updates. But for now, that's the latest world sport from the BBC.